Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a nonprofit with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Change menus, change lives. Learn more at chefscollaborative.org.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Everybody, won't you take a seat and listen close? Today is a story about a young man that you seem to know. Born in Omaha, then later his mom moved to the West Coast. Inglewood, to be exact, and that was a shocking fact, folks. Neighborhood pirus would roll up in crews and try to jack him. He would try to make them laugh and pop like to a backspin. Sometimes they would stall him out, and other times he would be scrapping. This made him into a man to never back down when attacked. And now, can I break it down? Okay, the little boy from Omaha grew tall. Didn't have game with girls, not at all. Didn't have grades, didn't know how to ball. But he heard the melody and that was the call. Didn't have a beat machine, had no gear. How could he write the songs, make them hear? Use everything I was a black down here. Pause, mix it for the rest of the year. Now he had beats, now he had rhymes. But he was a good yet, took some time. Went to the Good Life open mic one night and saw that he wasn't very good at all.
Oh no,
but he never stopped trying. One night he blew it up, I'm not
lying.
Ever since then the kid never stopped
flying.
Still trying to make him laugh, just kept dying.
Can I break it down?
Okay.
Listen close. Seem to know. West Coast.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Aaron Bresnitz, sitting with Olive Komodo, the unofficial spokeswoman of Silver Lake Ramen. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on. I don't think I've ever been in the restaurant when it's been this empty.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's to say, it is before it opens, but it's like the quiet before the storm. I'm watching all the chefs like just prep and prep and prep and get ready.
Exactly. I mean, when we open at 11:30, exactly, it's like the floodgates open and the restaurant gets pretty crazy right off the bat. And people try to come in even beforehand. We have to tell them you have to come back at 11:30.
You have to come back. It's like waiting for like a concert tickets to go on sale.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have to admit, in you know, when I think about ramen, I feel like there's always this mystique, this like alchemy, this like mystery, superstition around it. And you guys are no different, because when in doing my research for this, I found almost nothing on Silver Lake Ramen online, on the website or anything.
Right.
Why is that?
I just feel like there's so many techniques of making ramen that when chefs create something they really like and love, they tend to want to keep it more of a secret. So only they can have that for themselves. And it's their thing to share with the world, you know?
Yeah, but there's nothing about you guys online either.
Yeah, maybe the elusiveness maybe contributes. I'm not sure.
So let's go back to the beginning. So Silver Lake Ramen opened up in 2012, but what's the story before it? How did, walk us through how this restaurant, this like mecca in Silver Lake of Ramen opened.
Yeah, so we had a collaboration with a Japanese chef, Nozuki-san, and the owner, Danny, he's been working in Japanese restaurants for most of his life, and he just decided to open up a ramen shop. And it's really crazy. It ended up becoming much more popular than anyone could have anticipated, and especially because it was like kind of a risky move, seemingly, because there weren't that many ramen shops on the side of LA. They're pretty concentrated in places that had high concentration.
Like Sawtelle, that area over there.
Exactly. Little Tokyo, Sawtelle, Torrance, you know, areas with high Asian populations in Southern California. So this was kind of like a no man's land for ramen, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and in the development of the restaurant, and I guess maybe not quite knowing the phenomenon that was to come, what was the decision on, you know, what type of broth to serve? Because, you know, you could serve a million different types of ramen broth and style. How did the chef and the owner reach the decision to primarily serve tonkatsu?
I think it's just because that's what their favorite was, and that's what they grew up with, and that's what they wanted to share with Los Angeles, and this part of Los Angeles especially. And I think it's just such a comforting type of ramen. I don't know, I feel like tonkatsu ramen is so rich and creamy, it just feels like an embrace in food form.
So how did the broth come to be developed? Because, you know, each broth, even tonkatsu across the board, is unique into itself. Some are more garlicky, some are more sweet, some are more spicy, some are 6 hours, some are 12 hours, some are 60 hours. Tell me about the story of how the broth is developed.
So we have many additions for, like, we have, like, the base tonkatsu broth, and we also have, like...
Yeah, let's talk about the tonkatsu.
Yeah, so I would say, like, our broth is a lot more rich and creamy than other places, and I think that makes us stand out further than other places. Like, some people think it's too rich, but I think it's actually, like, perfect.
And those people are wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I love rich broth, and I think we really do it right.
And so, how did you land on, or how did the, what's the story of, like, how did they pick 16 hours for the time that you actually make it, each with the bones and everything like that?
I think they just ended up finding out with experimentation that it ended up becoming the perfect balance of time and creaminess.
So, once they decided they want to open Silver Lake, once they decided on the broth itself, how hard was it to open the restaurant, and how hard was it to open up in this side of town, and what were the early days like?
Yeah, it's funny. This restaurant, and it was originally in Pupus area, and it's funny because I know the owner, Denny, his family was a little bit reluctant because Silver Lake wasn't, but you know, the history of Silver Lake has changed a lot over the past 20 years, and the culture and the community has changed a lot. What really helped was, like, how many regulars kept coming back, mm-hmm. like, from day one. Like, we opened up, and we didn't realize how many people loved ramen on this side of town.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
Well, especially because it is a bit of a desert as far as ramen goes over here.
Yes, exactly. Recently there's been more Asian, like, eateries opening up on this side of town, but yeah, I feel like we're one of the first.
So what was that first day like? What was it like when people came in? Was there the same lines that there are now?
I feel like it started off busy, but it ended up just, like, getting crazier as time went on. It was like a steady incline since the beginning. But I know there was lots of buzz surrounding the restaurant before it opened, and, like, mostly from people who were, like, really into ramen, because there's definitely, like, a huge culture of that.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a bit about the community in here. At the core, you say that you're a musician.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you find a link between the creativity here of, like, the ramen culture and the musician culture that you're a part of?
Oh, for sure. I think that they're both very kind of, like, easygoing atmospheres. And I think that we cater to a lot of creative types because, I mean, I would consider Pacific Ramen kind of a fast casual place. So it's, like, a place where people can meet and just eat, and it's, like, weekly. I mean, I feel like so many people who work here are creative types, and it just, like, the energy of that combined with all the creative people, like the customers that come in, makes it a really inviting atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, every time I've come here, I've been here with friends, or even gotten to go, it feels very warm and comforting and nourishing.
Yeah, and that's kind of what ramen is, in a way. It's funny because, like, in Japan, it's a lot more of a fast food, but we've taken it maybe a step in a different direction of creating a sit-down restaurant that you're supposed to, you know, kind of, I don't know, sink into as mm-hmm. you're eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how much thought goes into it of Japan and Tokyo and tradition when you open up a ramen place?
I think it's important to adapt to, like, you know, your community, and I think we have done that in many ways. This is definitely trying to mix, you know, traditional Japanese cuisine with also new ways of innovating that within this context.
Do you find it different? Do you make it out to the other ramen restaurants in LA?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you find a difference in being in Silver Lake versus the ones in Little Tokyo and Sawtelle?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
What's the difference?
Many factors, like the culture, the type of service, the interior. I don't know. It just seems like there's so many diverse pockets of Los Angeles, and each and every one feels like its own little world.
Yeah. I mean, is it competitive, the ramen business here? Like, or are you all... Is it a community of, like, collaboration, or is it, like, we have our ramen, you have your ramen, and we're going to try and be the best ramen spot?
I guess I would be lying if I say there wasn't, like, some sense of competitiveness. But at the same time, I feel like we do our own thing, and I guess we don't really worry about other ramen shops too much. I mean, we definitely enjoy them, and we'd rather, like, you know, live amongst each other.
Yeah. So, going back to community, I mean... You have to be, when you come here, for those who've never been here, mm-hmm. let's talk about the wait.
Oh, yeah.
Because that wait, what's the longest the line can get here sometimes?
Honestly, it can go, like, it's usually, like, maybe about 40, 45 minutes, and can go on for, like, an hour or an hour and 15, hour and 30, depending on the weather. If it's raining, that's when it gets the most long. Yeah, for people who aren't familiar with a lot of ramen shops, they can get a little put off by the wait.
But here, I mean, I live off Mitsutarena, mm-hmm. and I drive past it, and
yeah.
every night mm-hmm. there's a wait.
Yeah, exactly.
And is that something that people have just come to expect as part of the experience here? How do you guys manage it? How do you guys make people feel at home and not feel that, you know, they're going to be put off? I mean, obviously, once you come here, you know, mm-hmm. at the end of the... Waiting Rainbow is a delicious bowl of ramen. But what do you do to build that community? What do you do to make people feel like it's not a put-off?
personally, when I go out to ramen shops, I kind of expect a wait, just because that's kind of how it is. And I've come to kind of assimilate that into my experience and, like, trying to make the most of it. And I think that's a lot of people try to do the same thing. I know some people go next door and grab a drink and come back, and we've tried to
implement...
That's
the move.
Yeah, exactly. We try to implement new ways of accommodating people for the wait. Like, we recently started using an iPad that texts you.
And oh, that's awesome.
So you don't have to just, like, simply wait outside and just wait for an hour.
So now I'm going to come down the hill, put my name in, go back at home, mm-hmm. and then come right back home.
Yeah, see, exactly. It's so efficient for people like you, so that's great.
So we're going to take a quick musical break. Then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the rest of the menu and the shoyu ramen and the other broths you have and sort of how they all play together. And then talk about the new place that you have opening up at the end of the year. We have a live track from the archives on Snacky Tunes here on heritageradionetwork.org.
This time.
Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. I'm with Olive Komodo, the unofficial spokeswoman of Silver Lake Llama. Oh my god, I'm sorry. There. Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. I am with Olive Komodo, the unofficial spokeswoman of Silver Lake Ramen, here in gorgeous Silver Lake. And normally, you know, coming from New York, when I would think of ramen, I'd be like, oh, I want it to be cold and rainy or sort of a blustery day, but we are not afforded many of those here in Silver Lake. I think ramen here knows no season.
Exactly.
So, obviously, tonkatsu is the number one seller, right? Mm-hmm. What type of noodles do you use?
We use egg noodles.
Egg noodles?
The straight kind, yeah.
Do you make them in-house?
We make them off-site simply because, like,
oh, that's
our
awesome.
Space is so small, we definitely don't have enough space to create it here, but we do make them ourselves.
You know, that's something I want to talk about. So, you know that you're going to have a line every night. How many customers would you say you have a night? How many bowls of ramen are you serving?
Ooh, wow, that's like an unimaginable number. gosh, I don't know. It must be like...
Hold on, we're just going to count the seats real quick. But it's more than a seat because
yeah.
I do that a lot of times. I'll call it in and pick it up.
Uh-huh.
And I have ramen bowls at home.
Yeah.
So let's say, what, 500 to 1,000 on a busy day?
Yeah, probably around there. Maybe even more. The to-go orders is crazy.
Let's say 1,000. So how do you prep for that? Especially when your broth takes 16 hours, right? And you're making your own noodles.
Right.
Like, how do you prep for that? How much do you make in advance?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of restaurants in Los Angeles, they have to prep for their restaurant, like, off-site.
Because
it's just not enough space to do it all in-house. So that's what we do. And, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty daunting task. Yet we do it every single day somehow.
You do. So it was tonkatsu being the number one seller, which is the creamy pork broth.
Right.
You offer three other types of noodle broth combinations. Let's talk about the shoyu ramen. How did that come to be developed and why offer? Because a lot of times when you go to these places in Tokyo or something like that, it's one broth.
Right.
That's it. Maybe one variation. Maybe they do have one or two others. But how did you pick your other flavors and why did you decide to offer multiple broth?
Oh, well, yeah, we definitely want to offer a variety, especially because some people have dietary restrictions.
Sure.
Like, one of the big things that make us stand out, in my opinion, is that we offer a vegan option, which is pretty uncommon.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll come back to show you, because the vegan one is really amazing. How did you develop something that has that same, like, umami, rich flavor as the tonkatsu?
Yeah, well, it's mostly made with, like, veggie stock and miso.
Dashi?
We actually know. There's no dashi.
No dashi?
Yeah. No, it's vegan. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, yeah, we make sure that there's nothing of any animal product inside of it, and the noodles are also a wheat noodle.
Hmm.
And we've really loaded in the vegetables, so you have some, like, sustenance in there. Even though I'll occasionally eat meat, I absolutely love our vegan ramen. I'll eat it all the time.
Do you find people who just come in here and just, like, you are my savior? Like, everyone always wants ramen.
Uh-huh.
Because there are some vegan ramen places, but it's only vegan ramen. And if someone said that to me, I'd be like, I don't want to just go get vegan ramen. Are you one of the few places that offers both meat and vegan?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's important to be inclusive, especially in a place like Silver Lake. There's so many different dietary needs. And, yeah, I feel like this is what creates such a good meeting place for people.
Mm-hmm.
There's something for everyone.
So let's go back to the shoyu ramen. And I know that, you know, that's mostly chicken broth, chicken-based.
Yes.
But it has a little bit of pork in it as well.
No, it has chicken, but recently we added dashi stock.
Oh, you did add dashi stock today. So how did that one develop, and why did you develop that alongside what is, like, such a killer tonkatsu broth?
Well, I guess we realized that maybe some people would want a lighter option time to time. The tonkatsu is, like, a really creamy broth, so maybe once in a while you might want a lighter broth, just, like, lighten your palate. So, yeah, we have the shoyu broth for that option.
And then also the last one, which is very interesting to have at a ramen place, is tsukumen.
Yes.
Which is, for people who don't know at home, what is that?
So, it's a dipping noodle, which means there we have, like, a concentrated, rich broth on the side, and then on the other side you receive, like, these really thick egg noodles, and they're chilled. And So it comes with like some lime and the toppings on the side as well. And you just like squeeze the lime over the noodles and you dip them into the broth as you eat them. And I would say it's really great for when it's really hot out.
Yeah.
It's like perfect for that kind of weather, which you've mentioned earlier, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
So it's great for that. And personally, I think it has like some of the best flavors. It has a lot more complexity, and I think it's great.
It's interesting. I wouldn't think of lime with Japanese food.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what I was kind of mostly referencing when I was saying that for us, we're trying to like incorporate the culture around us now in addition to like traditional Japanese cuisine. And we use lime in like in several things here, and like it really, I think it really makes us stand out in a way.
I mean, it's interesting, and I know that we're not the first ones to bring it up, but you know, ramen really is like this postmodern expression of food.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is no, you can't go be like, this is ramen. There's no this. It's like
Right. This,
and then you gotta hold your hands out from like side to side and like go like, all of this is ramen.
Yeah.
So do you feel that what you're doing here is adding to sort of that like postmodern sort of like taking the best, pulling influences from mm-hmm. LA, which has its own food culture, and adding that back into like the ramen canon?
Right, exactly. I think that's what is necessary to stay contemporary, and it's necessary to stay relevant and to really like challenge these notions of what, you know, these foods are. I think it's really cool to be able to introduce these new elements that actually fit great, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely agree, and I think that's part of the success. And one of the beauties about ramen, it's like, because I feel like with Japanese food and things like that, it's like, if you do sushi and you want to make the best sushi, this is how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
With this, it's like, you get to just make it your own and make it special.
Right.
So you've opened up a second location.
Yeah.
Ramen on York. How did that come to be?
Yeah, I guess we decided that we need to expand because there's so much way. We thought maybe we could open up another place in a different region of Los Angeles.
Sure.
And Highland Park seemed like the perfect location.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's been open for about maybe a year now?
A year.
And I think that we specialize in like a more of a chicken-based creamy broth there.
Mm-hmm.
And we also offer all the other ramens that we serve here. So it's kind of like an addition, but kind of a spin on Silver Lake ramen.
And has Highland Park responded in some same way that Silver Lake did, you know, 5 years ago to having ramen over there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it's like it's definitely a similar community, and yeah, a very similar response.
And then the exciting news is that you're opening up a third location in Echo Park. Tell us about that.
Exactly. Yeah, so we're opening up another location, and it's going to be not too far from here. It's just going to be in Echo Park, and we're trying to aim to open that around the end of the year, I think. Yeah.
And is it going to be a full restaurant, to-go restaurant? What's it going to be?
Yeah. It's going to be both.
Half and half?
Yeah.
Which do you think will just either maybe help ease a little bit of the line here,
yes,
but also add new customers?
Yes, definitely.
Are you going to develop any more ramen broths for that, or is it just going to be the same menu?
It's going to be about the same. We actually introduced a new ramen even. Yeah. It's called the Mazumen.
Oh, the Mazumen ramen.
Yeah.
Tell people about that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you were doing Mazumen. I love
Mazumen.
Oh, just started today?
Yeah, it's a very new addition.
It's that new.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like a no-broth ramen with ground pork, poached egg, chives, fried onion, dried seaweed, bonito, bamboo shoots, and green onion. And it's served with either hot or cold thick noodles, kind of like a tsukenen.
That's so awesome. So when you add a new ramen, when you add new items, and like, I don't even look at the menu. Like, if my wife, who introduced me to this place, if my wife texts me, she goes, you want Silver Lake? I go, yeah, you know what I want, right? How do you get people to try the new items?
Interestingly enough, I feel like we have so many regulars that, like, when they do see something new, it's kind of like, it just intrigues them. Because, yeah, I mean, so many people have been coming here for, like, 5 years, you know? It's always nice to try something new.
It is. Now, I would be remiss to come here and not talk about, because I know we've talked about the atmosphere and how welcoming it is, but part of that is the soundtrack.
Oh.
which I believe you have a hand in picking and curating. So, it is talk about who you play and how you curate it. And is it different, like, day-to-day? So do you have your, like, all right, this is our Saturday afternoon ramen playlist, and then we have our, like, you know, Tuesday evening, which are two different vibes. How do you put it together?
So it's kind of more lax than that, actually. It's kind of depending on whoever's working, and we all kind of just pitch in and play whatever we think we're in the mood for. I mean, personally, I have, like, a ramen playlist that I've, like, cultivated over, like, maybe the past year, and it's, like, maybe a day long in length. It's, like, really so much time.
Who do you think of when you think of ramen?
I play, like, a lot of kind of, like, it's funny, I call it noodle gaze. Like, I used to play a lot of shoegaze music sometimes. But now I have a playlist called Noodle Wave, like, Noodle Wave.
Yeah.
And I play kind of, like, some 80s-inspired stuff that's kind of a little, like, a dreamy undertone. Like, I play, like, some Wild Nothing, Klaus, Capture Tracks kind of bands, and then I play, like, John Mouse. Who else? I play some local artists. I always try to, like, bring some locality in there. So I play, like, Drab Majesty.
Oh, yeah.
And who else do I play a lot here? Yeah, I mean, it's really long. I would say those are, like, the main ones that I always think of. I mean, I play Beach House. I play... Oh, yeah.
Love the Clash.
There's some other people who work here who play, like, their own playlist. They play, like, Clash, they play Drake. So it's really, like, a really big melting pot. And a lot of people here are musicians as well, so it's really collaborative and cool.
Well, if that isn't the best analogy, metaphor for what ramen is, right?
Exactly.
A playlist where you take all the best and your favorites and you make it your own. Olive, I want to thank you so much. Olive Silver Lake Ramen, thank you so much for having us in. Hopefully we'll get you to make a playlist for us.
Yeah.
We'd love that. Where can people find you? Where can people find the locations in real life and online?
Okay. So Silver Lake Ramen is located at 2927 Sunset Boulevard. Mm-hmm. It's on the corner of, like, where Silver Lake Boulevard and Sunset kind of meet.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a hot corner.
Yeah, definitely. And then Ramen on York is on York, obviously.
And the new one is a little bit further down on Silver Lake.
Yes, I think it's going to be kind of by, is it Alvarado?
Yeah, Alvarado.
Alvarado and Sunset.
Yeah, a little bit before. Yeah, right near, we take our dog to Canine Lofts. So while I'm waiting for him, I can go get a bowl of ramen now.
Perfect. It's funny because there's a dog place right here, too.
I know.
Very
dog
friendly.
Maybe that's the thing. It's like dogs and ramens. Anyway, well, thank you so much. We have another live song coming up from the archives and then a live performance after the break on Snacky Tunes here on heritageradionetwork.org.
This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a national nonprofit network with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Chefs Collaborative members work to make sustainable practices second nature for every chef in the United States. Chefs Collaborative was founded in 1993 by visionary chefs including Rick Bayless and Alice Waters, who acknowledged the influential role of food professionals on our food choices, our collective personal health, the vitality of cultures, and the integrity of the global environment. Chefs Collaborative believes that the greater culinary community can be a catalyst for positive change by expanding the market for good food and helping to preserve local farming and fishing communities. Change menus, change lives. Learn more about Chefs Collaborative at chefscollaborative.org.
You're listening to Snacky Tunes. I am your host, DJ Never Forget. We all, as always, we like to time the pizza to come out right when we're about to do an interview, even though we have all this downtime.
Eating mad pizza.
We have Pigeon John in studio. Why don't we go around the room? We'll go this way and do introductions.
Hello, my name is Pigeon John from LA, California.
I'm Evie Jane from Canada.
Erica D from Canada as well.
And collectively they make up the Pigeon John touring band group ensemble.
We're Pigeon John and the Pigeon Ladies.
Oh, right.
We've also been referred to as that.
Pigeon Ladies.
Yes. Favorably referred to that?
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. We're starting kind of nasty.
They don't mind too
long. Yeah.
Okay. John, you have a new record come out in October, but we met a few years ago when you did the very first season of Dinner with the Band.
Yeah.
And so I was really excited.
Best burger of my life, still.
Still?
Today. Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to let Sam know. 3 years running.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's awesome. And the fries. Mm-hmm. Wait, what happened to the dudes? Your backup guys?
Oh, they're back in L.A.
They're back in L.A.?
Yeah, working on music and stuff. Their solo works and stuff.
But, awesome.
Yeah.
So you're on tour for about a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And you just came from Boston.
Yes.
Did you get a chance?
Boston.
What'd you think?
Great. Right next door to the ballpark. And great people. They're very wise out there, kind of sharp. The crowd kind of moves kind of slow.
Yeah.
But it's just the weather and their knowledge. But I like Boston. And I got to meet Erica's beautiful family out there.
Oh, very nice. This is
some Italians.
Six sisters?
No, this was just Auntie Cheryl and Uncle Carl and the kids.
So you have literally have an army around the country of family.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Ready to move en masse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So the new record, Dragon Slayer, is out. And I enjoy it.
Thank you.
And it's really fun. And it's in line with the other music you made, which is really clever, whimsical kind of hip-hop that is laid back to from the West Coast.
Man, Chet Baker.
Yeah. So why don't you talk about the inspiration for this record?
Inspiration? I guess I wanted to do a record just writing on the music and the words and going to Hervé Salters to traditionally produce the record. Mm-hmm. Versus beats and rhymes and stuff. So that was the first time I did it like this for the whole record, and it was a blast. But the inspiration, I guess, I wanted a more quieter hip hop album because I felt like I was yelling all the time, so I wanted to calm down a bit.
I definitely got that.
Just it's relax.
Really laid back in like a good way. Like it's kind of like a Sunday morning record.
Mm. Hallelujah.
I enjoy it, and the themes are the same: women problem, hanging out in your backyard, family.
Yeah,
it's really good. When you're in this, now that you have a new production type of schedule, what did you find like the differences between doing yourself or how it affected creating this record?
Ask that one more time.
Oh, okay. Now that, well, you said that you joined up with a producer.
Yes.
This is the first time. Mm-hmm. So how do you think it affected the record and writing it as opposed to?
It took, like, most of the stuff was me in the studio alone in the bedroom and stuff. But he played all the songs on piano, kind of worked it out and kind of showed me kind of what I was accidentally writing. So I kind of learned just watching him, like, oh, wow. So I think that was the best part, kind of breaking down the songs and kind of building them from scratch.
That's awesome. You two eat together while working together?
A sweet wife and beautiful family. So they're from Paris, so a lot of Parisian food.
Amazing.
Coffee, knowledge, just straight edge kind of guys.
How do you cook knowledge?
Just hang out with Hervé Salters, man.
Gotcha. So we're going to have you play a few songs in studio.
Okay.
So what is the first track that you're going to perform?
The Bomb.
The Bomb.
The Great. Bomb.
Which is, I believe, the lead single off the record.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Dragon Slayer is out now. And
Right now.
Get it now. You actually get it right now.
Right now.
While he's performing. Pigeon John live on Snacky Tunes.
Yes, indeed.
All
right.
Are
you
ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Pizza in the...
Yay!
Awesome.
Let's do it, kids. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hot damn. Thank you. Check it. Okay. Wake up in the morning to the clear blue sky. Turn up the music when I hop in the ride. The windows down, let the whole world see. Can't nobody rock it like little old me. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. I got my Chucks and my Dickies and I put it on black. Banging Sinatra in the black Cadillac. My old lady hanging out the whole window. Everybody looking when we walking slow. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. Come on. Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Everybody singing now. Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Everybody singing now. Whoa. Everybody singing now. Whoa. Okay, now one for the money and a two for the show. But three to be a legend even if I'm poor. I ain't chasing nothing, you gon' have to catch me. And if you wanna taste, you gon' have to pay the fee. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. To all my Molly Ringwalds and my little scarecrows. Where they hear my record, where they all hit the flow. Ladies rock a pose, come up in the front row. The homies in the back, tip the hats real low. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. Come on. Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Everybody singing now. Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Everybody singing now. Whoa. Everybody singing now. Whoa. Come on. Let's go. Whoa. 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 Hey, hey, a little louder. A little louder. Okay, come on everybody, won't you clap your hands? White folks, do it on time if you can. Sounds good, now here's the plan. Let's all sing together like we in the same band. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. Ooh. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. Oh my God. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. Ooh. Oh my God. Okay, now we about to take it on a whole new level. Grabbing the light on the run from the devil. Been downtown for too long. I feel the sun rising all up in my bones. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. Ooh. I'm the bomb and about to blow up. Whoa. 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 Ha, ha, ha. Whoa. Ha, ha, ha. Whoa. Let's go. Whoa. All around the world. Whoa. Ha, ha, ha. Whoa. Ha, ha, ha. Whoa. Hey, hey, a little louder. A little louder. Do the dang, do the do do the dang thing. Do the dang, do the do do the dang thing. Erica D has to doodle now. She told me earlier she has to poo poo now.
That was awesome. And calling out bathroom functions is always encouraged on Snacky Tunes.
Totally inappropriate. I'm not done eating my pizza yet.
Amazing. That was great.
Thank
I wish I had more for you to bang on in here. I know you're looking for. It's all like chairs and signs and everything. And I mean, maybe the outside would make a good metallic sound from the shipping crates.
Very cool.
John and Pigeonettes.
Mm-hmm. John and the Pigeonettes.
I like Pigeon Ladies.
Pigeon ladies is more crass, we think.
More crass?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like.
All right.
Yeah.
Reminds me of the Pigeon Lady.
It's more like what?
You know the lady that sits in the park?
Mary Poppins.
With the pigeons covered
shit
in pigeons.
All over.
Mm. Yeah, that's us.
That's us.
That's right.
I'm going to need and a shaker. I'm really excited about this because, you know, the first time I heard you was 2006 and then put out that great record and had some time off and Now you came back with this. How do you think the direction has changed? I know that you want to make a softer record, but do you feel like the message has changed, or do you think it's like an evolution? Since you always have such ties to your roots and where you started, mm-hmm. moving out to the West Coast is like a current theme. Like, how do you feel that you're expressing it this time around?
I would say I have no idea. Just trying to keep it natural, and I have no idea, man. God dang it. No good answer.
No good answer?
Yeah.
now that you're... No, it's all right.
I'm dressed like a goddamn hyena. I need a bath and a woman.
Well, I know that you got your start in the Good Life Cafe.
Yes.
And it's such an integral part. I'd love for you to tell our listeners like the story of how you got started there and how you evolved into where you are now.
Yeah. It was a great open mic that happened every Thursday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And like little community, it was in a health food store. And it was just great because it was only one open mic in L.A. at that time. And a lot of people rolled through. And this woman named B. Hall, she set it up and said no cussing, no B words and no disrespect and all that stuff with hip hop. It just didn't fit. So I think we were all smashed together and kind of, you know, learn how to try to style without a lot of crutches and stuff. So right. The Good Life was a great Jesus.
Do you feel like those rules or those stipulations, those are actually crutches in the music industry?
I think at that time she did it to kind of challenge us. We were mm-hmm. kids and stuff. So I think it kind of worked. And for some reason, just kind of gelled, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's great.
And now you're here.
Now we're here, yes.
So I know you're going to play another song for us.
Okay.
And what is that?
So Gangster.
So Gangster.
Okay, you girls started off.
Wait a second, hold on. I love this song.
Hold on. You shut your mouth.
There's a format here that we follow. Not really. But I would love to know, you know, because the title is, you know, appropriate. Well, you know, actually, take that back. You're right. Let's play it, and then let's talk about it. Because okay. I would have the only reference point besides you guys.
Oh.
Steve couldn't even have a reference point on this conversation.
I'm enjoying the pizza.
You started off.
I'm a gangster for real.
What?
I feel so damn gangster. Hmm? I'm a gangster for real.
What are you talking about?
I'm a gangster for real. I feel so damn gangster. I'm a gangster for real.
It's just one of those days. I feel the sun rise around me. All the clouds ran away. Something funny's going on. Okay, now where's all the traffic? Is someone trying to clown me? Why do I feel fantastic? I'm used to things always going wrong. But now
I'm a gangster for real. I feel so damn gangster. I'm a gangster for real.
Come on.
I'm a gangster for real. I feel so damn gangster. I'm a gangster for real.
Oh shoot. Sitting in my backyard, looking at a little squirrel. I'm drinking some coffee. I feel like a whole different world. Plus I got the bomb rhyme skills. I got Hawthorne backing me up. Plus my wife looks good. I got butter soft seats all up in my trunk. Yep, I'm banging some Depeche Mode. Windows down so you can see the fresh mode. Yeah, my 6-4 is only a Nintendo. But I'm smashing fools on some Super Mario. Never picture myself sitting on some big dough. Used to be in Broken 6 in Alvarado. I'm chilling at the back of the boat chewing tacos. I feel like young Sean Connery in Cabo. And now
I'm a gangster for real. I feel so damn gangster. I'm a gangster for real.
Show me how you feel. Come on.
I'm a gangster for real. I feel so damn gangster. I'm a gangster for real.
Oh shoot, let's go. Okay, act like you in Cabo. Let me take you out. We'll go to Denny's on Vermont. And we'll get waffles on the house. Yeah.
Act like you in Cabo. Let me take you out. We'll go to Denny's on Vermont.
and we'll get waffles on the house.
Watch the young Duke Ellington make the place gelatin, shake the fake Felligan. I have the black Gilligan. I keep seeking, keep preaching, the seeds peeking, keep reaping, keep breathing the same reason. I leak venom every time I choose to spit them, and a line hit them with an unusual rhythm that you never heard. The similar words ever spoken, forever hurt, and those who oppose, I'm not joking, cause now
I'm a gangster for real. I feel so damn gangster. I'm a gangster for real. I'm a gangster for real. I feel so damn gangster. I'm a gangster for real.
Let's go on a pleasure trip.
I'm a gangster for real. I feel so damn gangster. I'm a gangster for real. Yeah, yeah. I'm a gangster for real. I feel so damn gangster. I'm a gangster for real.
You gotta rock to the beat that like this, you gotta rock to the beat that like this, you gotta rock to the beat that rock it to the beat, you gotta rock it to the beat that like this, you gotta rock it to the beat that like this, you gotta rock it to the beat that like this, you gotta rock it to the beat to rock it to the beat, you gotta rock it to the beat like this. Get some.
And then we explode.
Yeah, we explode.
And then we go.
Yeah.
The pigeons go poof.
That's that
just explode.
The blur.
Oh, sign out the exploding pigeons.
No, yeah.
Play the mask.
So I'd love to know the process behind that song, and you know what it's about. I know that you're a gangster.
Oh,
but you know it's not your traditional gangster song.
I think I wanted to, you know, it's the everyday man, you know, feeling good. Things just happen to be working out, and you know, the loser that made it kind of vibe.
You know,
the guy that got the job.
The guy that got
you
the...
You feel good. You just got a new truck. You feel good. Roll the windows down. You're the man. Just for 15 minutes or seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like it. It's kind of like a everyday man positivity song. Which yes. That's what I really feel about your music, is that your music is so positive. Mm. I know that you sing about your music about, you know, coming up in the neighborhood that you're in, and it's like... not black enough, not white enough, mm-hmm. but all your music is like such a good look on life.
Oh.
And that's one of the reasons why I like that song so much, because it's like, yeah, I got a haircut. It's awesome. And it like came out okay.
Yeah.
I'm winning.
You know what? You already won.
Yeah. So what is up next? You have your show tonight in New York at Irving Plaza.
Yes. Opening up for DJ Shadow.
Amazing.
And then tomorrow at the Brooklyn Bowl.
I just played there on Saturday.
Whew. I've never been.
You've never been?
Never.
Neither.
Oh, this is not because, I can only say this. They take really good care of artists.
Oh, nice.
That's all
nice.
I can say. They all take, right. They'll feed you, they get you drinks, the staff is really awesome. It's this building is, it's a venue, restaurant, bowling alley, all at the top of its, each one operating at the top of its game.
Nice.
So it's really good.
Some bowling tomorrow.
I can only recommend, I can't recommend highly enough the fried chicken there.
Fried chicken?
Fried chicken.
All right.
We like fried chicken.
But it's really good. And then where are you off to after New York?
After New York, we go to Cleveland.
Cleveland, Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
And then, no?
No, sorry. No, I was just chewing in the microphone.
Oh, okay.
Still eating pizza over here.
Yeah, we got a lot of pizza. Yes. And then you mentioned that you're off to Europe in December.
In December, go to France, and then tour in France in April.
That's amazing. And,
yeah.
So
never been, so
it's wonderful.
Oh my god!
I went this summer for the first time.
Fresh wine, cherries, lawns, women, dreams. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
I can't wait to fall in love.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Underneath the Eiffel Tower.
Oh my god!
Make it as cliche as just as cliche as trashing the hotel room.
Yeah.
As Steve mentioned, just drink a bottle of wine, have a loaf of bread, eat some cheese, and fall in love on the Eiffel Tower.
Cha 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 cha.
Yeah, that's the. Those are the two cliches.
Wake up with a tummy ache and then make a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, there it is.
There you go.
So where can you get the record?
You can get it local record stops or iTunes.
iTunes.
Yeah. Or buy it directly from pigeonjohn.com or quantum.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Are you on the Twitter?
Yeah. I'm on the Twitter.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
So we got one more song.
It's ruined my life, man.
Ruined it.
Oh my god. Much. It's like drunk texting to the world.
Yeah.
And you can really get into something.
I just started one last night. Started my first tweet. Did my first tweet.
What congratulations.
It said, I just puked in Boston.
And we are going to close the show on that. What is the last? And you're going to play the song that I started off the show with for us.
Yes.
And you want to just talk about inspiration behind that song?
Yeah. Excuse me, I'm a huge Far Side fan, and so I always like that sample that they used on Who is the Negro in Charge over here? Who is the Negro in Charge? So I think, I think it's just a freaking, excuse me, it's a bunch of bullshit. But I like the song though.
Okay. Great.
Cool.
Let me sign this out. This is the last thing we're going to do. This is the final format. I want to thank Steve, the author of Mosh Potatoes, for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
Book out tomorrow, everywhere. Pigeon John's record, Dragon Slayer, out everywhere.
Thank you.
Pigeon Ladies, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
And big shout out to Roberta's, Jack and Z and Rec Tech, who are producers, for making us sound good. And we will be back next week with Suckers, live in studio.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah. All right.
Here we go.
Ready?
Yeah. Oh, well, excuse me.
Okay, hello everybody, won't you take a seat and listen close? Today is a story about a young man that you seem to know. Born in Omaha, then later his mom moved to the West Coast, Inglewood to be exact, and that was a shocking fact, folks. Neighborhood perusal, roll up and cruise and try to jack him. He would try to make them laugh and pop like do a backspin. Sometimes they would stall him out, and other times he would be scrapping. This made him into a man to never back down when attacked. And now, excuse me, can I be myself and spit it like no one else? I think I got a story to sell. Well, baby, you better make room.
Excuse me.
Baby, you better make room.
Excuse me.
Baby, you better make room.
Excuse me.
Baby, be better. Make room.
Excuse me.
Baby, you better. Can I break it down? 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 Okay, the little boy from Omaha grew tall. Didn't have brains, not at all. Didn't have game, didn't know how to ball. But he heard the melody and that was a call. Didn't have a beat machine, had no gear. How could he write the songs, make them hear?
Moves everything that was a knockdown near.
Pause, mix up for the rest of the year. Now he had beats, now he had rhymes. But he wasn't good yet, took some time. Went to the Good Life, open mic one night, and saw that he wasn't very good at all.
Oh, no.
But he never stopped.
Trying.
One night he blew it up, I'm not
dying.
Ever since then the kid never stopped.
Trying.
Still trying to make him laugh, just keep dying. Excuse me, can I be myself and spit it like no one else? I think I got a story to sell. Well, baby, you better make room. 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 Baby, you better. Can I break it down? 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 Okay.
Woo! Listen
close. Seems to know.
West Coast.
Well, excuse me, can I be myself? And spit it like no one else. I think I got a story to sell. Well, baby, you better make room.
Excuse me.
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 Baby, you better. Yay!
We talk about food. Talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, Snacky Tunes.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Heritage_Radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. and we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
For listening.